Hi everyone, happy Monday. My name is Mike and I'm the college pastor at Symphony Church, and I'll be leading us in this week's devotionals. Today we'll be looking at Mark chapter 14, verses 53 to 65. And just a quick refresher on where we left off. Jesus was betrayed by one of his disciples, Judas. And what we're going to come to see today is that Jesus is being led to something called the Jewish Sanhedrin. And this is pretty much kind of like the Supreme Court of our day, where some of the most high-level cases are being brought before them to make a decision as to what to do with Jesus, what they should do with this guy, with this man who professes to be the Christ. And so let's take a look at Mark chapter 14, verses 53 to 65. And they led Jesus to the high priest. And all the chief priests and the elders and the scribes came together, and Peter had followed him at a distance, right into the courtyard of the high priest, and he was sitting with the guards and warming himself at the fire. Now the chief priests and the whole council were seeking testimony against Jesus to put him to death, but they found none, for many bore false witness against him, but their testimony did not agree. And some stood up and bore false witness against him, saying, "We heard him say, 'I will destroy this temple that is made with hands, and in 3 days I will build another, not made with hands.'" Yet even about this, their testimony did not agree. And the high priest stood up in the midst and asked Jesus, "Have you no answer to make? What is it that these men testify against you?" But he remained silent and made no answer. Again, the high priest asked him, "Are you the Christ, the Son of the Blessed?" And Jesus said, "I am, and you will see the Son of Man seated at the right hand of power and coming with the clouds of heaven." And the high priest tore his garments and said, "What further witnesses do we need? You have heard this. You have heard his blasphemy. What is your decision?" And they all condemned him as deserving death. And some began to spit on him and to cover his face and to strike him, saying to him, "Prophesy." And the guards received him with blows. All right, so once again, after Judas's betrayal, we see that Jesus was sent to the Jewish Sanhedrin, which is the supreme council and tribunal of their day. It's the supreme council of the Jews that was led by the high priest. And the high priest would be leading a group of chief priests and scribes and elders. These were a group of people who were esteemed to be some of the most religious and spiritual people of their day, people who were the most knowledgeable of the law, people who knew exactly what was acceptable according to Jewish tradition. Now, the reason why they brought Jesus to the high priest, to this Jewish Sanhedrin, is because Jesus was claiming to be the Christ. He was claiming to be the Son of the Blessed. And the reason why they were threatened by this claim is because they had a particular image and a vision of what the promised Messiah was going to look like. Jesus came from a super small town called Nazareth. He didn't come from a wealthy and affluent family background. He didn't go to a prestigious school. He didn't have that kind of education. And so people were wondering, how could this man named Jesus profess to be the Christ, the Messiah, the King, who is proclaimed to be the one who restores the Jewish people and their land? You see, this is something that the Jewish people were waiting for eagerly, especially the high priests and the chief priests, the elders and scribes. And when they heard that Jesus was doing all these things, healing the sick, casting out demons, preaching and teaching, that the kingdom of God is at hand, they were threatened by this, because many were following Jesus and no longer the particular Jewish traditions of their day. Specifically, in verse 58, there were some people accusing Jesus of having said, "I will destroy this temple that is made with hands, and in 3 days I will build another not made with hands." And then in verse 59, it says that even about this, their testimony did not agree. You may be wondering, why does this testimony not Why couldn't they agree on this testimony? Well, it's because Jesus actually didn't say that. He didn't say that he will destroy this temple. He said, destroy this temple that is made with hands, and I will rebuild it in 3 days. There's a very clear difference there. If Jesus actually said, I will destroy this temple, that would actually be a very clear threat to the Jewish people and the Jewish temple, their house of worship. But Jesus didn't say that. And there were some people who would actually deny that that's actually what Jesus said, which is why they couldn't agree with that accusation. And after all this back and forth, accusing Jesus of this and that, the high priest had enough of it. And he stood up in the midst of the debate, and he spoke to Jesus saying, have you no answer to make? What is it that these men testify against you? Have you ever been in a situation where someone is accusing you of doing something that you actually didn't do? Or maybe it's more about the intent of what you did. Someone said, you know, you meant to do it. You're doing this because you're doing it for your own self-gain. You don't actually care about me. Where in reality, you're actually doing it with a true intention because you actually do care for that person. Now, if anyone ever were to accuse you of something that you did or something you did with wrong intention, most of us will be very quick to speak up and to clear our name, to say that that's not actually what I meant to do, or that's not the intention, or I didn't do that. And yet Jesus here remained silent, and he made no answer. Some of us may look at this and think it's a passive response, but it actually isn't. Jesus, before this passage, he was in Gethsemane praying to the Father, and he was weeping, and he was asking his Father in heaven to take this cup from me, because he knew that there was going to be an impending judgment upon him, the crucifixion, that he was going to endure a lot of shame and pain for us. And he said, Lord, take this cup from me, but nevertheless, not my will be done, but yours. And he knew that as the days were unfolding, God's will was also unfolding. And because he was obedient to the will of his Father, he let it be so. He remained silent and made no answer. And then the high priest asks again, are you the Christ, the Son of the Blessed? And Jesus confirms this claim. He says, I am. I am the Christ and the Son of the Blessed. You will see the Son of Man seated at the right hand of power. You see, the Son of Man, this phrase, was actually a very holy phrase. It was a holy term for the one who was to come. And it was the term for the anointed one, for the one who was going to redeem his people. And so he proclaims that he is the Son of God. He is a Son of the Blessed, the Son of Man. He is the Christ. And when Jesus said this, the high priest went berserk. He tore his garments and he said, what further witnesses do we need? You have heard his blasphemy. Now, proclaiming to be the Christ is actually would be seen as blasphemy if it wasn't true. And like I said earlier, Jesus was nothing like the kind of Messiah and the Christ that they were waiting for. And so they immediately deemed it as blasphemy. And blasphemy for the Jewish people was subject to the death penalty. And this was only something that the Roman governor Pilate had the authority to execute, which is why in the next passage, we're going to see that Jesus is being led to the Roman governor, Pilate. Now, what we see in our passage today is that Jesus is condemned for saying that he is the Christ, that he is the Son of God. Even the high priest, the one man who was supposed to be spiritually in tune with the God of Israel, who was supposed to be able to discern truth from lies, he deemed Jesus' response as blasphemy. This is a very humbling passage for me personally. As a pastor, it makes me pause and really question, if Jesus were to come back, will I come to know the one who says that he is the Christ? Will I recognize my Lord and my Savior? Even though he may not be exactly what I envisioned him to be, will I know his voice? Today, I want to invite us to really ask ourselves to inspect our own hearts and ask ourselves, do I really believe that he is the Christ, that Jesus is who he says he is? When Jesus says that he is the Christ, he's saying that I am the anointed king out of the line of King David. I am the anointed one. He's saying that I am the saving one, the Messiah. And he's also saying that I am the one who has divine authority and power to rule and to judge for your good and for my glory. Jesus is saying that he is the Christ. And when we hear those words, will we respond by saying, blasphemy? Or will we say, it is so. You are the Christ. Let's take some time today to reflect on our own hearts, to come before our King, our Messiah, the Christ, and to declare that he is our God. He is our God. And let's give thanks to him because he endured so much of this shame, this public shame, so that he might be the perfect sacrifice for our sins, and that we might have a restored relationship with God. And so let's pray right now and take some time to reflect on our own hearts. Let's pray. Father, we thank you, Lord, for your word this morning, and God, for reminding us, God, Lord, of who your son Jesus is. He is the Christ. He is the Messiah, the anointed one. And Lord, we want to honor you and glorify you as so, Lord, that you are worthy of all praise and honor and glory. So Lord, we pray for the help of your Holy Spirit to do that today, to profess our faith in Jesus as the Christ, our Lord and Savior, and to worship you as so. We thank you and pray all these things in your son's name. Amen. Thanks for joining, everyone. I hope you were encouraged by today's devotional, and I hope that today that we can continue to look upon the Christ. Have a great day, and see you tomorrow.